CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, that's what I said this morning.
You know, I like that crazy coach, actually.
Yeah, he's good, huh? He gets you motivated.
Jeez.
How do you feel about that motivation early in the morning?
Live for the pay!
Yeah. All right, what do you say, coach?
Locked in, 100%. Got that vibe. Pull your pants up.
Pull your pants up.
He's hard to ignore.
He gets you going nice and early, right?
Not the easiest on the ear, but...
Can you imagine if someone shouted like that at Sia when he was at school, he would have just walked off the field.
I think that's exactly why Sia walked off the field.
Yeah.
We all heard his story about playing in the 14F team.
Yeah. How did that go again? Remind us.
Oh, it lasted a matter of a few weeks up until I felt and heard a little pop in my knee and I got my mother to write me a letter.
Wow.
That was just you blowing bubbles of chewing gum.
Well, snap, crack 'em, pop in that back. Bow, 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 bow. Now it's on.
It was a snap, crackle, and pop.
Right, exactly.
Ready, ready, snap, drop, get up.
I confidently sauntered onto that rugby field during practice. Everyone was warming up. I looked into the coach's eyes and I said, yeah!
Okay.
Here's a letter from my mother to prove how much of a man I am.
Yeah!
To which he said, well, we actually didn't want you to play this week.
No, they didn't even notice whether I was playing or not.
Oh, I used to hate that in like phys ed or PT or whatever it was called, physical training, physical education, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Then we'd always do, they'd make us run around, because I think they just ran out of ideas. And it was usually the dumbest, I can say this now because I feel nothing, but they used to be the dumbest people in the school, the phys ed teachers. It was always like sheltered employment for someone's slightly Down syndrome cousin that they would become like a physical education teacher.
Slightly Down
and
syndrome.
And all the male phys ed teachers were these sadists and all the female ones were lesbians.
It was definitely a type of person looking back now.
Sure. It's exactly what I just described. All of them were either lesbians or they were sadists. Only two things that they could have been. And that job... It is a red rag to a bull for anyone who's never really grown up out of high school. That was their greatest time, and they want to go back to it and be in charge of other kids.
Yeah.
Live
for the pay!
But then with increased sort of reliance on exercise and desire to become fit and strong, those people then evolved into personal trainers.
That's tangentially, yes, you're right.
Well, look, I mean, you get levels of personal trainers. I mean, don't respect the industry.
No, there are good ones.
I'm actually a qualified personal trainer.
Oh, hey now. Yeah. I didn't know this.
But you get ones who are really good and cutting edge, and then you get ones who literally are glorified PT teachers.
And then you get the ones who are really good looking as well.
Yeah.
Which is like
there's layers.
A bonus.
Those are the ones who always seem to stretch you more than the actual work you
have. You've got to have a good looking personal trainer. It just adds that last bit of motivation when you don't want to go in for training.
Absolutely. What size penis do you have?
You're like, oh, but I get to see so and so.
Don't want to let him down.
Are you thick like a can of soup?
Oh, yes.
But my belly, today we're doing squats. What's that got to do with it?
Just take your shirt off, regardless. It makes it easier.
I'm really struggling on that third set. Can you just take your shirt off?
Yeah.
Look at how much she loves it. It's true. That's what she
does. What
do
you mean my heart rate's got to get to 160? You don't get the shorts off then.
She says, as she looks into the distance with the glimmer in her eyes.
Look at that. Isn't that the most gorgeous thing you've ever seen? And look at his body, muscles. You work out.
You know what I'm talking about, Blue Ryers. You get it, girl. You understand.
But PE at school was always just this lesson of shame.
Oh, it was horrible as well, because I hated running and they'd always make us run or they'd do stupid shit. Like one day they'd decide go into the gym and you can do push-ups and stuff. I just hated that.
Yeah, because you hated being told what to do.
No,
because
I was bad at it. And I hated being told what to do. But I was also bad at it. If I was great at it and left everybody else behind in the dust, I would have felt much better about things.
Could you imagine 60-year-old Cliff over here in junior school? Yeah, stupid.
Yeah.
I did say that to them sometimes. And then they'd say, yeah, and then they'd give me detentions and
take
things.
Take a lap, Cliff.
That was my worst.
Let me tell you something.
Taking a lap as a resort?
But you didn't have to respect the PE teacher. It was worth taking a risk because you knew that they're not going to actually affect your marks. Or, you know, once school's over, you're never going to think about them again. This is the first time I've thought about my PE teacher since school.
Did not count for marks when you were at school?
They'd thumbsuck some number and it'd be like at the end of your report written in pen when everything else was printed. And it was remedial. It was really remedial. And I don't think that PE is a bad idea at school, by the way. I've sort of woken up to the idea that actually, all things considered, it might be better for us in South Africa if we did a little bit of physical education.
Yeah, it's been taken away though, hasn't it?
Has been taken away. It's now no longer in the curriculum.
Also, it's because you can get winners and losers in life in PE class and you can't have that. Everyone's got to finish kind of second.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you can't have a loser because then that ruins that child's self-confidence. You know, it's like last night we gave out a couple of awards at the Cliff Central year-end function that we had.
I didn't get one and I'm horrified.
Ben didn't get one. He didn't get a participation trophy.
Bullshit.
I'll tell you who the winners were in a second. Amanda, you wanted to say something.
Did you guys ever have something called the beep or the bleep test?
Yeah.
When you did it.
What's that?
Oh, God.
That's something what all
where you got to run a little bit, then it goes beep, then you got to run back, but like for 30 minutes.
What kind of school did you go to, Amanda? Whoa. That's like high-tech, intensity stuff.
It's the East Rand. You have to learn to run from the cops.
Yeah, no. That's what
that sounds heavy. Is that almost like what they do when you do a health assessment? You have to do the step test. It's kind of almost the same.
I did this test when I was doing that men's health thing.
Oh yeah,
it's hardcore. It's like, look, at the beginning of seasons, this is your benchmark fitness assessment for all pro athletes, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the hell Amanda's doing it at school.
Jeez,
seriously, what school did you go to?
I'd rather not say, but I'd rather not say.
But this is kind of the norm, though. Yeah.
They made you do this?
It was terrible all the time.
All the time?
And then eventually for like LO at the end of the year.
That's
like,
life orientation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So and then they would make us do that so we could flip and pass the year. And if you failed LO, it was like one of the main subjects. It became one of the main subjects. So
what do they do?
It's crazy.
What do they do in LO?
You just run. Yeah, no. You don't even learn shit.
So they just threw PE into this category called life orientation.
For like a day. So then people would be like, okay, so then they'd be like, okay, grade 10s, this is your day. Like at the beginning of the year, actually.
Oh, no. So you would know it was coming.
So then the grade 10s, and then you'd be like, I'm not going to do this. Like, I'll rather just miss the day. So then you don't come on that day. Then they'd be like, oh, really? We put you at the grade 8s. Off you go.
Oh, wow.
So they always made a plan, and if you eventually missed all the days, the principal would do it.
You in Auschwitz High School? Is that what it was called?
No, I was in like, God. It was like the army there. That's what I always tell my mom.
Sounds heavy.
It does sound heavy. I know at my fittest, I got to 11.1 on the bleep test. And at 11.1, that's it. I thought my life was over.
That's amazing, Ben.
Wait, what does that mean? 11.1?
What?
So you covered what distance?
So it's about 25, 30 meters, that's your grid, and you got to go back and forth in time with the bleep. The further you go into it, so there's different stages. So you get level one, and it's an Australian guy. Level one, 1.1, 1.2. And then you go up, and as you go up, the bleeps are closer together.
And it's actually very scary, I must say.
It's hectic. It's like warfare.
So did you get up to 11.1?
Yeah.
So that's a level 11.1.
Yeah, and the jeez, and these bleeps, it's like being in warfare.
Did you do that at the High Performance Center in Pretoria? Jeez, there's some smart athletes there. I mean, in terms of just being so super lean and fit.
Yeah, if you ever want to feel insignificant in life, do a bleep test. If you want to feel like you're really fit and you're still feeling insignificant, that's it.
Yeah.
Mm. Back in my youth, I was 33.
You were 33 in your youth.
Next week, 36.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Ben's birthday next week, so everybody remember because I might not. It's going to be fun, right, Ben? What are we doing for your birthday this year?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. I know what I'm doing. What are you guys planning?
Okay, oh, what are you doing?
I saw you put up some video of Meowsers yesterday, where there was a Beach Boys song playing and Meowsers sleeping. And I thought, this could be fun for about 2.5 seconds, but it went on for about 7, and I stayed.
Exactly.
I stayed. I don't know why. I was hoping. I was thinking Meowsers might do something. No, she didn't do anything.
That's Meowsers' life. She listens to music and just sleeps while I work.
What a way to live.
Huh? She sleeps next to me. It is such an amazing life.
It is good. It's a good way to live. Anyway, so last night we had our kind of year-end dinner, and we had a whole lot of the shows there and a whole lot of sales, our new salespeople in there. And it was just a nice big celebration. And three shows got special mentions. Most downloaded show of the year was... Dun-da-da-da. Should we give them a proper drum roll?
Sure.
Do you want to? Do you want to do this, Sia?
Oh, do I get the great honor?
Yeah, why the hell not? Fantastic. You get to say it. All right, here it is. The the most downloaded show, and obviously we don't include our show because we're on 5 days a week. Most of the shows are only on for one show a week. And the winner is...
The Renegade Report.
Yes. Can you believe that? Yeah. Renegade Report running away with the most downloaded podcast. Mm-hmm. And then the other podcast that got a notable mention, because he's the one who started podcasting from doing a live show, and it's turned
podcast
out...
of the year.
Yeah, it's been an amazing quality show. And if you haven't heard it yet, you need to take a listen to it. It is...
The Brain and Brand Show, so it's Timothy Maurice.
Yes, very nice. And then there were a couple of other awards too. Sia got an award.
Because, for what?
Well, because we would have had a drama if we didn't give him an award.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No, it was a real award.
I totally would.
He's worked hard this year. Sia and Greg got
I got awards. A very cute cushion that's in the shape of an emoji.
Which one? The poo one?
No. The blowing heart one.
Oh,
so sending you love.
Oh, sweet.
So it was nice. It was lots of fun. We had some great food. Went down the road here to the cooking accountants.
Yeah, that was my prize.
They
that
are
was,
new
that was my
people.
Award, was that buffet.
Oh, it was nice, huh? Amazing. Good food, right? And the wine, Amanda.
Oh, the wine is great.
Oh, no, we had a really nice dinner. Anyway, so lots to talk about, lots of things that are going on at the moment. And today is Puzza Thursday, which means Justice Malala comes along and gives us the latest in what's going on the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. We've got so much to talk about with Lynn Brown and Zim and Eskom and Kwazazana Dlamini Zuma. Apparently, she pulled out of the Daily Mavericks gathering.
Oh.
Yeah. And I told you yesterday, that I heard very reliable sources saying she had to be talked out of not dropping out of the campaign altogether.
Mm.
So she's not having a fun time, Kwazazana Dlamini Zuma. I think she's looking at this crew of criminals that she'll have to keep on her network of patronage. And she's thinking, I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to be, you know, a leader, and I signed up to be a president, and I've done all the hard yards, and now I would like to run a country properly, maybe. And let's imagine she's a good person. I have no reason to believe otherwise. And she's looking at what she has to take on if she does stay and if she does go through this. And she's looking at these other crooks and saying, why should I be in charge of these crooks? I don't want to carry on looting and pillaging the state.
Yeah, that was Jacob's job.
Yeah, I'm imagining she's actually decided this is not for her. And maybe that's making the Jacob Zuma camp very nervous. I can imagine some very high-level meetings going on behind closed doors at the moment with massive shouting matches and people getting anxious and being backed into a corner. And a whole lot of people going, well, what's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? You know, those kinds of strategic discussions none of us want to have.
Yeah.
I see that happening. And also with what's going on in Zim, I think it sent a shockwave through a lot of kind of dictatorship-minded people and people who think you can ride roughshod over, you know, the society as a whole or the military. In our case, the society, in Zim, the military. Maybe, just maybe, it's setting off some alarm bells, which wouldn't be a bad thing, right?
Oh, no.
No.
Something different would be nice.
Yeah. Anything different at this point would be nice because we've got no government really to speak of. It doesn't look like there is anything going on in government right now. Have you got personal evidence of any decisions being made that can affect basic things properly, positively? You know, there's been a massive water pipe problem in Johannesburg over the last 3 days. Have you got water yet, Ben?
Let's go with yes, but I don't have water pressure yet.
Oh, okay.
So I still had to... I mean, I look like one of those gymnasts who, you know, like in the Olympics, that horse?
Yeah.
I was like that over my basin today because that was the one point that actually got water.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I
almost pulled a hamstring just trying to get ready for work.
Well, I'm picking up a lot of posts from people who are either civil engineers who know how infrastructure works. They're saying this burst pipe that pretty much paralyzed the whole of Sandton for, what, 2-3 days is just the tip of the iceberg, because when you have something like that, it's an indication that your entire infrastructure needs massive attention. Sure. In other words, don't maintain it until something goes wrong, is the attitude of the government. So now that things are going wrong, it's almost too late to fix it without more things going wrong.
Well, that's what worries me, because if you look at the development in Sandton for the last, let's just call it 3 years, there is a lot of strain on the infrastructure there.
Yeah.
So that's
sewerage, the water, the rubbish removal,
you've got like an extra 50,000 people working in that area.
Yeah.
And they've all need to go make a poo at some stage. They're all washing their hands. There's a huge strain on what's going on there.
Well, clearly it's too much. And now it's Herman Mashaba's problem, because even if the ANC knew about this while they were in charge of Joburg, they didn't give a damn. I know in my neighborhood in Pretoria, they've been replacing pipes. Well, I think they just finished. But it's taken them like 8 months, and they've dug up every sidewalk in the entire neighborhood and relayed brand new pipes. So thank God, I think we'll be all right for the next while. But while it was happening, there were days where we wouldn't have water, and 2 or 3 days in a row where there wouldn't be, and you'd have to swim or go to the gym or something else in order to make it work. They'd just send you a notice. At least they were prepared enough to send you a notice to say, listen, you're not going to have water for these couple of days.
It's rough. Like, Daniela had to go to a gym far off where she normally goes to.
Uh-huh.
And because everyone else got the same issue, that gym suddenly became crowded.
Yeah.
And these people don't know how to deal with extra people. And then you get really shitty people who don't like seeing people they don't recognize.
And you also get shitty people who will, like, shave their head in their armpits and the basins. And I've seen that happen so many. They actually put up a notice. And this is why I say there's so many... like people that could do with the school of etiquette or just some basic social rules that would make us all get along a lot better. Because you see these guys and they actually put up notices saying, please don't shave anything but your beard. Because there are people grooming their pubic area over the basin. No, I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. I've seen a guy, there was one guy who's shaving his entire head at the basin because he, you know, he wants a bald head. So he shaves it at the basin. And then they leave all the little... because if you've seen what it looks like when someone's, you know, shaving, they leave that filth from the shaver. They just leave it all over the basin. And then it's someone else's job to come and clean that. Now, that's got to be the most awful job in the world, cleaning up someone else's shaving mess. You know, even when I go to a hotel or a bed and breakfast or whatever, I clean the basin after I've shaved. And that's just my beard.
But like, Who does that?
But you see, we've got terrifically unsophisticated people here. White and black, rich and poor. We've got so many unsophisticated people in South Africa that really just need to be sat down and taught basic manners, how to deal with people, what you are and aren't allowed to do socially. Because they've grown up like veals. They've grown up in this environment where no one taught them the right and the wrong thing. Because they were too busy trying to earn money to feed them or something. I don't know.
They're nasty.
I mean, it's never okay to expect another human being to clean up your filth.
Yeah.
You know, when you leave the toilet like a mess, that's not okay. In high school, I was shocked once when one of the girls told us that after they take a bath, then the maid has to come in and clean up the bath after them. And I was like, but that's your filth.
Yeah, your filth. Yeah.
That's your filth.
That should be no one else's job.
That's also your shame.
I wouldn't want to do... like, if I left a basin... In a hotel, which is my hotel room. I booked it for that time. They're going to clean it anyway. But I make sure I don't leave the basin in a mess.
Mm.
Or the bath or the shower or whatever, because I'll be embarrassed. And you know they're going to... If there's someone in there who... I don't know. Maybe they do know who I am or whatever. Then they're going to definitely tell everybody, wow, that filthy pig. You see how he left the hotel room.
So that's
part of the motivation for me. But it's... even if you didn't know who I was, I do this when I'm overseas. They don't know who the hell I am. I don't leave a bathroom in a mess. But it seems some people not only leave a bathroom in a mess, but are prepared to use it for things a bathroom shouldn't be used for. Ugh. At a gym, for example, you know?
Well, that's another thing, is as soon as it's not your bathroom, you do get those people who think, ooh, well, I can do whatever I want then.
Well, look at
because
this.
Then it's not my problem.
Look at our bathrooms here. Some people come into our bathrooms from God knows where, off the street or whatever, and they take enormous dumps in our bathroom loo.
Always seem to have spare pubic hair.
Yeah, and in the
do
urinal,
like
right?
A bank bag of it, and they throw it around.
And then they just walk. They walk out. My God, I wouldn't be able to just leave it.
Sorry, Sia, but it's a horrible reality.
Oh, it's awful. Oh,
it's just like their crotch area is so horrible, their pubic hair can't wait to escape it.
No.
Oh, I'm just getting visuals and the vibe of the horrible. Heat and the...
My office solutions after everyone pooed with no water. Someone's just sent... No, they've just sent me a picture of what the office solutions are. Do you want to know what they are?
Oh, you brace yourself, because you have to see that.
All right, let's see. Hi, everyone. We have arranged buckets in the toilets to flush down water. In the meantime, while we wait for our portable toilets, please use sparingly. Apologies for the inconvenience. So that was what was happening in her office. Also, keep a bog roll in the car in case. That's a good idea. Keep a roll of toilet paper in the car. Very good idea. When you come to Cape Town, bring your own hand wash. Camps Bay, Queens Beach, etc. No soap. Well, you see, they don't put soap out because otherwise you'll use water.
Yes.
Yeah, also strategic. They'll just steal it.
No water in Lone Hill, says somebody. 48 hours now. Morning, guys. I doubt Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma would want to read about her legacy one day, like the one written in The President's Keepers. Hugs, Ramita. Ramita saying that's probably why she's backing off so much. I'm from East London, says Ashley. We also had to do the beep test in high school. Great way to ignite a passion for physical activity in kids. Huh.
Okay.
I went to Komiki and dropped a bomb, said hi to the council person, chatted about opening times, and I almost missed it. Advised her no brush, etc. She said, dude, I've got one for you, and I sorted it. Felt great afterwards, had a great surf after. I'm not sure I entirely understand any of that.
Well, from my understanding...
Do you speak Komiki?
Bits of it.
Dropped a bomb. Said hi.
Basically, took a massive dump. Okay. Huge.
Said hi to council person.
And then there was some residual dump left over, so you need a bit of a brush to wipe that stuff.
Oh, right.
I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, like you just bristle.
I'm done. I'm signing out.
And then they had a great surf afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, look, after a good number two, you feel like number one.
All right, Amanda. Did you go to East Rand Girls Reformery? Happy Thanksgiving from Texas, guys.
Reformery.
That's nice. Yeah, for reformatory.
Is that today?
Yeah,
their time.
Is it today or tomorrow is Thanksgiving?
Wait, is it before or after Black Friday?
Well, let's look it up. No, Black Friday is before. After. Is it? Oh, come on. Nobody knows.
It's after Thanksgiving because when the shops really want to get rid of their crap.
Okay, so then that would mean that Thanksgiving is Thursday,
exactly,
American time.
They want you to pay full price for the holiday.
Thanksgiving's today, Thursday, 2017.
Okay.
Oh, well, happy Thursday, 23
October.
No.
November.
Oh. Yeah. So what you do is you don't even spend money on Thanksgiving anymore because you save it all for Black Friday. They've just ripped out all sentiment.
But there's so many things that Americans will do on Thanksgiving that we've kind of taken into Christmas, like cranberry sauce and stuffing and turkey and all that kind of thing is either it belonged originally to Thanksgiving and was just transferred to Christmas as well. Or it belonged to Christmas and they've borrowed it for Thanksgiving. I don't know. But a lot of that stuff seems to me a lot like the Christmas food that we eat.
Every time I think of an American Christmas, I immediately think of eggnog, which I've never tasted in my life. And I think I should make it this year.
It's apparently really nice. I mean, it's apparently very good because it's just eggs and then you've got like some kind of liquor.
Am I drinking raw eggs?
It's like mixed stuff.
Well, it's almost like custard. From what I understand, but
it's
not
like milk
thick.
And sugar.
Okay, I'll look up a recipe and
let's do one for Christmas.
Like, I mean, it's not like eggnog like Rocky would eat. Obviously, there's better ones.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to quickly go around the room and say what you're thankful for?
Well, maybe we should just because that's what Thanksgiving's meant to be. People wee in gym showers, the old kind. Then it used to travel down past you in the shower trough. See. What is it with people? People are disgusting.
People are so sick.
Yeah. Right. It's just horrendous.
Sorry, say that again, Pan Mom. What does Tan Mom say? She says, "You people are so sick."
People are so sick.
Yeah, that's right. So you do pretty good tan mums here.
Mums, there's various ways of having eggnog. Four egg yolks. Mm-hmm. You get sugar, milk, cream, and you throw the bourbon in.
It's got to be bourbon. It can't be anything else.
Nutmeg and egg whites. But you've got to separate the egg whites, like egg whites, and fluff them up a bit. Oh. But essentially, it's just milky bourbon.
Hmm. All right. I'll try it.
What the hell? You only live once. All right, let's get into the five things you need to know today. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Okay, so some interesting things you need to know. The great inspired Italian franchise known for the absolute best pizzas, pastas, and salads. They're celebrating their 25th birthday with an unmissable pizza and cocktail special. Colcacchio have obeyed the singer Cher and Turn Back Time to their foundation year of 1992 when their pizzas were just 25 rand. Those were the days, huh, Mubs? 25 rand for a pizza, including their margarita pizza and margarita cocktails. Now that sounds like an unbelievable November. There will be plenty of other delicious specials made from the freshest source ingredients. Colcacchio brings everyone together. They cater for everybody. They're now offering their special gluten-free vegan alternatives for Sia, as well as a low-calorie 4-0 range of pizzas. So that's for anybody who's watching their weight, but you still need pizza. The best part about Colcacchio is that you can indulge in the greatness from the comfort of your couch. For terms and conditions and more info, go to colcacchio.co.za. They're the reason you
crave pizza.
That's right. All right, so cute, what are the five things? What do you think? You think my buddy's being cute? No, she knows this stuff. She's done it for years. She's totally integrated into craving things. You heard how crazy she went when we described the physical trainer, personal trainer at the gym. Loves it. All right, so what are the things we need to know today? First things first, there's still a whole lot of Zim news. I don't know if you're interested in that anymore, because it turns out there was this really sad picture of Robert Mugabe, Grace Mugabe, and then three other Mugabes sitting in this really awful little lounge looking particularly depressed. And you can see that Grace is exhausted. She looks like she hasn't slept in days. Things are not looking good for them. But that's just anecdotal. The news, really, the main headline that I saw this morning, because we've been following this case, and Mubs maybe has some more details about it later in the news, Susan Roeder may have spent her last moments swallowing blood, battling to breathe, and in pain after suffering severe blunt force trauma to her ribs, according to testimony presented at the murder trial of her husband Jason in the Cape High Court on Wednesday. It turns out, according to that chief pathologist, she was strangled to death. She didn't commit suicide. That's what they're saying. Obviously, we're going to wait for the judge to make a call on all of that. In other news, Lynn Brown, sure, she had a really tough grilling in Parliament by Pravin Gordhan. And we'll look into this with justice a bit later as well. So if you want more info, you'll just have to stick around for that. But Lynn Brown just, she sounded like she didn't know what had gone on at all. Like she was completely out of control, had no real answers for anything. She lied repeatedly. It seemed that she was trying to run for cover wherever they asked her a question. Very, very bad appearance in Parliament. This is interesting. Vanuatu has led a push to make a narcotic drink a worldwide favorite. Now, you know, we often talk about legalizing marijuana and all that kind of thing. So this is an impoverished Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu. They're leading a push to standardize the production of kava, K-A-V-A, in a bid to increase exports of this narcotic drink and improve the quality for local drinkers. The kava plant only grows in the Pacific Islands. Each one produces different varieties according to growing conditions. The sedative brew is made from the roots of the kava plant, a member of the pepper family. As a drink, it looks like muddy water and has a bitter aftertaste, but it is popular in the islands for its relaxing and narcotic properties.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In Australia, they classify it as a depressant drug, and it's illegal in some parts of Australia, but then everything's illegal in Australia, so don't worry about that. In some parts of the European Union, like Poland, they also have outlawed it. It earns Vanuatu about $7.5 million a year. The majority is exported to the west coast of the US, where specialist bars have sprung up, as well as Pacific communities in Australia and New Zealand. Sounds interesting, right?
Sure.
We must check out the kava plant, and maybe we can get some here as well.
But I mean, does it have the same effect as marijuana? Do you get high from it?
I think it's just a chill. It's like a chill out drug. It's kind of the effects that may be similar to marijuana, but certainly not as strong. Anyway, any natural stuff, why would we have a problem with it, right?
I guess.
So while America is completely caught up in who has raped and molested and fondled with and interfered with everybody else, guess who has just been disgraced and added to the list? I mean, I was horrified when I heard this last night.
Wow, well, it could be anyone.
Yeah, give us
a clue.
Charlie Rose. Do you know who Charlie Rose is?
Charlie Rose?
Wait, Charlie Rose is this 1,000-year-old man who used to do these interviews, the Charlie Rose interviews, yes. The famous interviews. He would sit down with people for an hour and he'd do these in-depth interviews with them, biographical interviews, mm-hmm. topical interviews, whatever they might
and
have been.
He still does them now? And yeah, worse, well, he's on like CBS this morning.
Right, he's so been he disgraced and he... Mm. Yeah, he's behind the firing of one colleague who could have stepped into his role in the AM show, Josh Elliott. CBS This Morning has been left without an heir to Rose after the veteran anchor was fired for sexual harassment allegations. And there's no big-name replacement with CBS News' ranks to take over. Insiders say it was Rose who this year helped get Elliott fired from CBS after he decided the younger anchor was a threat. And now Josh has been ousted and Charlie's been ousted because Charlie was busy doing inappropriate things, sexual harassment. Charlie Rose! Is anyone in Hollywood clean?
When I heard that... people were also pointing fingers at Ryan Seacrest. That's when I knew it's game over.
Well,
everyone
can you
is
imagine?
Allegedly
I mean, first
touching
of all,
someone.
Who would have been molested by Ryan Seacrest? The Care Bears?
That's the...
Jeez. I mean, that's when I heard Charlie Rose has been involved in all of this stuff. That's something else. I wouldn't have put him down for that anywhere, anytime. Guy, like, he seems like such a straight up, you know, decent old school broadcaster. But then I suppose that word old school, that might be where the problem lies.
Yeah.
Because that's how a lot of men used to think in that generation. I mean, you look at President Kennedy and, you know, those kinds of things. You look at how they treated women in those days. Maybe it's part of the problem. That's about it for this morning. Except that when Donald Trump said to reporters he had a really busy day of meetings, and then they caught him on the golf course. They've realized they don't know whether to trust him or not. For those people who didn't know this already. His Thanksgiving trip to Mar-a-Lago. He said, I've got so many meetings. I've got a whole busy day of meetings. And then when they saw him, they photographed him on his golf course at Mar-a-Lago playing golf.
But isn't part of what makes golfers smug the fact that they have meetings on golf courses?
Well, that is such
like
crap.
That's where they make big money deals.
What Donald's just showing he's a man of his word.
Meeting cancelled though?
He could be having four meetings while playing golf.
No, I don't believe
not
it.
Not one, not two, not three.
He could have seven because he could have people walking around as he plays, just watching him play, which is an honor, of course.
Oh my God, it's going to be such a great golf game. Can we also have a meeting?
Come watch me play golf and we can talk about this bill.
Mr. President, the Secretary of the Interior doesn't play golf. Well, give him a club and make it look like he does. Imagine. All right, those are the things you need to know, brought to you by Calcacchio's. Now, over to Ben for a little bit of sport, and Ben has all of the stories that you're going to care about, and this is brought to you by Land Rover Jaguar Menlyn. That's right, do your kids not find you cool anymore?
Shame.
Yeah. The new Range Rover Velar from Menlyn Land Rover will quickly take care of that. It's got head-turning, elegant design, luxurious interior, sophisticated technology, all-road performance. This is a one-of-a-kind car. Ben, you know you were in it with me the other day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought you were cool just by driving it.
Exactly, and you've never thought that about me. Be one of the first to experience the car that will take you anywhere and everywhere with consummate ease, and all you have to do is visit menlyn.landrover.co.za. Do it today. Give them a call on Pretoria 369-2400. That's Pretoria 012-369-2400 and arrange a test drive today. Let me tell you something. If you get into it for just half an hour, if you drive this car for half an hour, you'll fall in love. You'll start figuring out which kid you can sell in order to buy this car, or which kidney you could sell in order to buy this car. It's that cool. Don't think it's the same inside as the previous Land Rovers, Range Rovers, the Evoque. Just go and look at it. Take my word for it. You need to see this. Better yet, head on down to the new improved Land Rover Menlyn. They're located at 221 Gasfontein Road. It's just off the N1 highway in Menlyn. And tell them Cliff Central sent you. You may just get special treatment. Pop in there and say, I heard about you guys at Cliff Central. Show me this goddamn car.
Please.
Over to you, Ben.
Please.
Right, Gareth. It is the Ashes that started today.
Oh, yeah. I saw you put up a picture of the Ashes with?
With Meowsers, yeah. Meowsers had their urn last night.
Thanks.
So the
Does
Ashes...
Meowsers charge you for all the social media traction you're getting off of her?
No, she just gets fed every day, and we're happy with that. Symbiotic relationship.
The Ashes, this tiny little vase filled with the ashes of what? The stumps from
the
what?
The stumps from back in the day when England, who have always been so smug, these guys have just always been smug. They lost to Australia, and they were like, oh, how could we lose to these shackle draggers? And they burnt the stumps because England cricket died that day. So they gathered some of the ashes, or so the story goes. They put it into this little urn, mm-hmm. and that's what they play for. Tiny, smallest trophy in the world, stupid. Most prestigious. So England won the toss, and they elected to bat. People were saying, well, their batting lineup's not good enough. They might want to bowl first, bit of a green top. Mm-hmm. But no, you've got to bat first in Test cricket like this. Otherwise, everyone's just going to call you a Nancy. You've got to get the batting out there. You've got to get the runs on the board.
See, I didn't like that inference, calling someone a Nancy. He just pulled a face.
It's cricket jargon, yeah.
Oh, right.
And, England were on the rack straight away. Alistair Cook, he scored bugger all two. But now Stoneman and Vince, these two have got together 79 runs currently their partnership. They're 81 for one. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Lyon's already got through 10 overs. Interesting. I thought the Seamers would do a lot more on day one. But that is the start of the Ashes. It's going to be amazing. Five test matches this year. Mm. It's a summer of just intrigue and suspense, and it's just better than any soap opera you can think of. A test match cricket is absolute best, and so many like Australians obviously come out for this because it's the big rivalry, and so many English people will be just cooking like bacon in the stands. It really is quite something.
You can hear them how, sizzling
with all the education information in the world, these guys still don't understand that the sun will burn you. It's great to watch though. You see like these guys morning session, they're that kind of opaque kind of color, evening session they're drunk, shouty and pink. Brilliant. It's brilliant. As the test series does go on.
Very racist, Ben, but I like it.
Well, I'm just talking,
it's true.
I'm just talking about what you see on TV, Gareth.
Sure.
Yeah, it's great to see it because the numbers do dwindle towards the end of the tour for various reasons. But that's it. The Ashes is on. And if you do wake up early like we do, well, you can put the TV on and there it is.
Right.
The Channel 9 commentary team full of the most misogynistic bosses you ever come across talking about cricket. It's just beautiful. If you're into that, of course. Big week of football, as I mentioned yesterday. Oh, crap, I just minimized the wrong screen.
Oh, embarrassing.
I know, terrible. Champions League, that's what everyone really cares about. And, you know, after the big glut of international matches, which are a bit here and there, we got Champions League football again this week. And groups A, B, C, and D, they were all in action last night. And Barcelona and Juventus, that was one of the big games to look out for. 0-0. Pretty boring result there. But Juventus are kind of holding on. And, well, Messi didn't start. And when that happens, well, they don't get goals to Barcelona. But tell you what, who does get goals? PSG.
Oh, yeah.
They scored 7 last night against Celtic. 7-1. Basically, everyone had a go. PSG. Now, we all know that Man City are the high-flying team right now. Wherever they go, they're scoring goals. They're winning. Their goal difference was 10 from their 5 matches in the pool stages here. Mm. So, 10. They scored 13. They conceded 3. Do you ever want to guess a guess at what PSG's goal difference is?
No.
23. They scored 24. They've conceded just 1. This team is really... Well, look, they're in the French League, and they're beating everyone in the French League, because the French League is so piss poor already. But in the Champions League, they've got Bayern Munich in their group. They've got Celtic and Anderlecht. So again, Bayern Munich aren't what they used to be. So it's not the hardest group. But still, to have a goal difference of 23, you're 5 from 5, they're through the next round, and nobody would want to draw them. Nobody. Absolutely nobody. Hmm. Other results from last night, Atletico Madrid finally got it right. They beat Roma 2-0. Very good result for them. Sporting CP. Well, they capitalized on the fact that Juventus...
It's that Sporting Cerebral Palsy.
Yes, Gareth, yeah. So they capitalized on the fact that Barcelona and Juventus didn't really do anything. So they beat Olympiacos 3-1. Oh. Anderlecht, they lost to Bayern Munich 2-1. And Basel, well, they beat Man United. Yeah! Man United had a great season and Ibrahimovic was back on the bench. But no, Basel just beat them that one. It's not going to really matter, though, because Man United will go through the next stage. CSK Moscow beat Benfica. And Chelsea, they went to Karabakh.
No.
And they won 4-0.
No.
Yep, 4-0.
No!
Okay, well, just bring you the truth. So Chelsea are going to go through, which is really good for them. PSG obviously have gone through. Man United have gone through. And Barcelona have gone through. This Champions League is going to be so exciting this year. And I'm just saying it to make up words. It's just that you've got a lot of teams who, obviously, the old guard who are doing really well. But I just love to see if PSG can actually take it forward this year. They've always promised because they got the money. PSG and Man City, very similar. Mm-hmm. Both got a stupid amount of Arab money.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that, right?
Yeah, I think that's also racist. But your whole sports report has been, so it's fine. You've gone at white people, black people. You might as well go at Arabs.
Oh,
so,
and pink people.
Well, that's what I mean by white people. So he called them translucent, I think.
Opaque in the morning.
Yeah, I know. He used all the descriptors. So don't worry.
There's been a lot of controversy about the fact that nobody can compete with Man City and PSG when it comes to transfers because they've got like Qatar money coming through,
mm-hmm.
Abu Dhabi money coming through. But now, is this finally the season where we're going to see the big money truly trump everything else? Because Real Madrid got big money, but they haven't got PSG money.
What we must do is get a Middle East expert in here to tell us the difference between Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Yemen, and I've left one out. Kuwait.
Now look, he's being racist.
I want to know about... No. What I mean is I want to know the different countries. I want to know who's in charge of all of them. Don't you want to know?
Yeah, sure. And where they get the most of the money from.
Yeah,
is
well,
gas?
It's mostly...
Is it oil? Is it tourism?
Oil and gas mostly, yeah.
Yeah. So big weekend of rugby. This is something I'm really excited about because... The Springboks, they get to play Italy. And it's not at night this time round, 4 o'clock. So Italy, I think they've won one game this season. I think they beat Fiji or something. So they really are Italy of old. Don't think we mustn't underestimate them and all that other crap. This team should be taking a hiding right now. And even with the box without a few key players, although Alistair Goodseer will pick the strongest team possible, as he keeps saying. That team will be announced today, by the way. This Italy team should take a beating. If it doesn't, then Alistair Goodseer should just go home. Many people think they should go home anyway. Other matches to look out for. Scotland will host Australia. Scotland did so bloody well against the All Blacks last weekend. Australia, they took a hammering to England. Mm-hmm. That is going to be a fantastic match. England versus Samoa. I think the Samoan players are making about £600 each for this match. This match will bring in £10 million of revenue, and the Samoans are basically getting paid. They're like a little wage packet at the end. Horrible disparity between the earners there. And then New Zealand, they will be hosted by Wales. And then Ireland will take on Argentina. France versus Japan. Huge weekend of international rugby to go with the Ashes. And you've still got ABSA Premiership matches to go through.
It's a lot.
You've still got the Premier League in England to go through. Plus, CAF Confederations Cup Final is all going to be decided this Saturday. SuperSport United will be hosting TPZ Mazembe. TP Mazembe.
What is that all about? You're on a great roll this morning.
TP Mazembe, they've got 2 goals. SuperSport United got 1 goal from that first leg. So the away goal is with SuperSport right now. So evenly poised. It's going to be very, very cool. But most importantly, I shall be at the Gary Player Invitational at Velocity.
Very good. Now that's exciting.
So there will be no bump show today for logistics around traveling. And I'll be there tomorrow. Hopefully catch up with you guys. Otherwise, you must follow me on Instagram at The Bounce because I'll be doing stories. Gary and I'll be catching up over a few still waters. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Yeah.
No, we're going to catch up with you for sure.
Okay. Oh, this?
I'm going to be interviewing other sporting celebs. It's going to be such a thing.
Catching up over still water.
You and
is
Gary.
Is that drink of preference?
You better show Gary that you don't have a fat stomach.
Well, look, this club that we have, non-fat stomach people, we just know.
Oh, right.
We give each other knowing looks and carry on.
Yeah, Gary will make you drop and give him... He'll do what that crazy coach says. And give me 10. Yeah.
Do you think that you are going to get an erection when you're in his company?
Fair question.
Yeah.
I think I'm past that now because I'm 36 next week.
Yeah.
And you guys tweet each other.
Yeah, at a younger stage, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But now, it's just...
All right. Robert
can't
says...
control my emotions.
Robert says, I had to download the WeChat app again because I think Ben blocked me on WhatsApp.
What?
Is that possible, Ben? Did you block someone?
How do you block someone on WhatsApp?
You block people on WhatsApp.
You can.
I will chat here till Ben blocks me again. Morning, Gareth. Kisses
what,
my bunny.
What makes you think I have any Robert. Power of blocking people on this show?
Well, he hates you, Ben.
You know what, Ben? This isn't the first time somebody has accused you of blocking them. The first incident really was on Twitter. No, there was a Twitter incident.
No, I get blocked by people on Twitter.
No, you were accused of blocking someone.
Yes.
People think that you like to block them.
And you did admit to it. But I don't think you even remember why you blocked them.
Well, after yesterday's rant, don't bring up Eminem or he might block you. Someone says, Ben, after yesterday, that's it, I'm writing a diss song about you. I love you, but you crossed the line with that Eminem comment.
Go ahead, write whatever you want.
From Tabo, he says he's over you now.
So you actually, no, we aren't even about to
let's
go
get
back
to
into
Sid,
it.
Let's like get to can't. Sid by Sia. It's time for some inspiration and optimism, all right? Over to you, Sia. This is your new theme music for today. Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Take it away. Sia Sangweni.
Hey.
All right, go. What do you got?
Well, you know, we are totally wrapping the year up when the academic year is over. So matriculants around the country are now just finishing their final exams. They're writing their last next week. And they're proving, actually, that they can write their last exams barefoot and as a token and an act of kindness, really, doing it all for a good cause. In what has become a tradition, and a great tradition, I'd say, in South Africa, matrics are leaving their school shoes and sometimes other items too to be distributed to underprivileged peers. So Randfontein High School shared their photo a few days ago of, you know, shoes lined up and ready to be passed on to those in need, which I like. So thousands of students around the country have already started planning what they will leave behind for matrics in need. And with some of the students who have started making full packs with new stationery to give to the class of 2018, you know, for them to have an amazing start of the year. So this tradition of leaving shoes behind is not only about paying it forward, but also doing it in honor of kids around the country who don't have the resources to afford uniforms, for example. The kids, what I like of matric currently and of today, understand that not everyone is privileged enough.
Right, they're conscientized to this stuff, which, you know, in my generation, we just hated everybody, you know?
So I and you cut yourself some slack, yeah.
No. I'm making that up because I'm going to get such shit from people.
You didn't exactly.
I think millennials and I think, you know, people who are finishing school now, they're kind of a little bit more worldly wise because there's so much more information available and you're on the internet and you've grown up
more,
connected
you're exposed
to people.
To much
yeah,
more.
Right. So it
absolutely.
Makes sense. Sure.
Yeah. So over the next couple of days and weeks, brace yourself. You'll probably see this on social media. I personally think they're amazing pictures of these kids who are writing their exams and they're leaving their school shoes behind, and I think it's awesome. So there are organizations like Hands of Hope who'll be receiving these shoes and they'll be doing the distribution to the kids in need. So it's the little things that count, and it just shows that you can really do the smallest things to make the biggest of difference. So in this day and age, when young people who are supposedly not doing anything and who are so obsessed with themselves and are easily influenced by peers and social media can actually do this and drive this and actually,
good for them.
You know, yeah, it's good for them to tap into popular culture and make a difference in this way. I think it's awesome. So it's inspiring to see this, and I just thought I wanted to shine a light on them this morning. So
nice. Yeah, thank you. All right, here are a couple of messages that have come through. First of all, American pumpkin pie is very nice if you haven't tried it, says somebody talking about Thanksgiving earlier. Someone else says, talking about going to gym, I went to gym at 3 o'clock yesterday. Afterwards, I went and took a shower. Okay, what is the thing with old ladies just hanging around in the shower room, stark naked?
That's old people. They do the same in the men's.
I assume this is from a woman then. Okay, but it does happen in the men's bathroom, as Ben says. I saw the droopiest old man balls, and he didn't give a damn that his balls were hanging like old socks on the washing line. Fuck it, man.
I think elderly people by that stage really don't care about things like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've lived an entire life.
Elderly people do not look at genitals like we do when we're young. We look at genitals as, wow, that could be nice or that could be exciting. They look at genitals as being like, this is a hangover from my past.
Yes.
That's just there now. I use it to pee. Don't look at me.
It's so sad, but
that's what it is.
It doesn't register high on their list of priorities.
They really don't care.
No,
my great aunt, who I've spoken about as the alcoholic who lives alone.
No, I like the sound of her.
She Tabitha is the way to go. That's her name, bud.
Tabitha. God, I love Tabitha. She sounds like the kind of person I'd get along with.
Oh, Tabitha's amazing. By the way, I didn't even know her name was Tabitha because, like, we just grew up and it's like Tabitha. And I'm like, my people, though. She has this amazing nightgown of hers.
She wears it all day.
For years. But yeah, the thing is, it's so tattered on one side.
That's the side she holds the bottle.
No, but the thing is, it's tattered and there's a rip. And when she walks around with no bra on,
her titty falls out.
Oh, absolutely. And she doesn't care. She's just sitting there with a little beer in her hand.
Right. I like this
boob
woman.
Boob out on one side.
But don't you envy old people who don't give a shit anymore?
Yeah.
It's got to be nice to just walk around with all your junk hanging out. You don't care. Because you know no one's looking at you and getting aroused. So you don't give a shit. To you, it's like, a vase or a painting or a chair. It's just a thing that's there.
Yeah, it sounds like a really nice place to be, where you get to a point where you absolutely don't care what the next person thinks of you.
And for a woman to finally be at a stage in your life where you're not being objectified by men anymore. You're just, you're just there.
Yeah.
And they might actually have something to say to you, but they're certainly not getting all excited about you naked. And I think it happens late in life when that eventually kicks in, like in your 80s. But that's when people stop caring, and it's got to be very emancipating. Gareth, read your messages properly, says Ashley. Emojis are important. I was being sarcastic about the beep test. She didn't enjoy it at all.
Oh, okay.
Eggnog is nasty, says someone else.
Oh, okay.
All the turd talk, and Gareth didn't play a single toilet noise. Congratulations, you're growing up.
Yeah, well done.
Okay, thanks for that. Is it time for the Boney M acclimatization program, says Kerry.
Yay.
I don't know. Maybe we didn't do it last year. Maybe we should bring it back.
We did a bit of Mariah. Was it last year?
Yeah, we did Mariah acclimatization, before. Maybe we will. You know, with Christmas music coming, you've got to be prepared. Michael Bublé is about to make his exit from his cave and start doing Christmas music again. Yeah, that's what my sister told me last night. Someone says, Lynn Brown was so obviously guilty yesterday. Her main defense was that she couldn't remember anything. Absolutely pathetic. I loved Praveen Gordon's interrogation of her. Kay. Thanks, Kay.
What's in the Marley Fund Bradars going on with her?
Exactly. Bet you there's going to be some Mugabe lookalike at the Ashes because people dress up, says somebody else. Is Ben making pearls, Quentin?
Oh, with the sandy... No, it's not funny.
Sandy vagina.
Sorry.
Sia, I think Miley just
broke...
funny
yesterday.
Sorry, okay. It's not funny. Yes, Gareth.
I think Miley just broke a hoop-hoe continuum with her hoop earrings. Have you seen Miley Cyrus's new hoop earrings?
Oh, well...
Apparently, they're very hoe-like. They're enormous. They're as big as her head.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, those are massive.
So there's an interesting thing to look at. Just look up Miley Cyrus and hoop earrings. Shout out to my son Liam and daughter Erin. They qualified this week in BA Sports Development, hint, hint, Ben, and BSc Zoology and Biochemistry, respectively. Well done. My 14-year-old drama son, Karabo, has gone academic on us. Brilliant at grade 9 results at NSA. Graham. Nice, Graham. Good for you. And Ashley says, going to be a long day, guys. I woke up with Snow's Informer song in my head. What is it with these white rappers? Hoping to share the misery by getting it stuck in your heads, too. Dinner, shit, I'm a stomach, I'm a blam.
I lick your bum bum down,
Informer. Dinner, shit, I'm a blam. I lick your bum bum down.
Still don't know the lyrics.
No, who could be bothered, please?
We have the basic
terrible
tune,
song.
It's fine.
That guy very nearly sunk white rap completely. Thank God Eminem came up afterwards, gave it some credibility.
So, Ben, you prefer that guy over Eminem?
Sure. Seems like a much nicer person.
You know what?
Vanilla Ice over Eminem?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Vanilla Ice over Eminem.
We should have a day where we torture Ben and call it White Rappers Torture Day.
Absolutely.
For Ben. Like, just send him over the edge.
All right, when we come back, we will be regaled with all kinds of excellent analysis by the premium analyst in South Africa, the man who everybody can't wait to hear from on a Thursday morning. Justice Malala, the burning platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. That's next.
CliffCentral.com.